Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the great I Am mentioned in the Bible that refers to the one divine life that is the only life in all creation. In this show, we will discuss the value in rising above personal sense and limited perspective into the truth of being as the one divine life. Listen as we explain the revelation of truth is not a loss of personal sense, but a more inclusive sense of spiritual identity. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is the point of simultaneous observation where individual and universal are the same. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live beyond the limits of personal sense. Swami, today's title of the show is Who Do I Think I Am? And I know we can spend a lot of time unboxing that. How about getting us started?
Yeah, what we're trying to do here is pose the question. What we're working with here is the whole concept of coming out of personal sense and moving into spiritual identity. The reference of I, when it is perceived from the perspective of the many, and I being personal, that becomes a barrier. That becomes the problem. And then, of course, the next word that's in there is think. And the other thing that we're trying to do is come out of all of the modes of mortal thinking. And if I think I am a mortal, finite, corporeal being, then I'm creating an interference pattern with the truth of my being. But if I can shift my awareness from material, beyond the mental into the spiritual, and I can identify with my spiritual selfhood, which will dissolve this false sense of the many, this dream that we are hypnotized by, and it will reveal the truth, which is that this one divine life is all that there is.
It seems like mortal mind has a control over us where we have to think that we're something, like the word who do I think I am? You know, I can be a daughter, I can be a sister, a wife, a female, and it seems that we have to be always labeling ourselves and other people, and I think you're trying to say that that's what we have to stay away from.
Right, and that's the whole thing of who do I think I am? And then the Bible tells us to know the truth and it will make you free. And like what we have been talking about in other shows, this whole thing of fear being a defense mechanism for this personal sense, this false sense of who we think we are. And just like you say, when we assume that as our identity, then we need to improve it. We need to protect it. We need to make it succeed. And so we're trying, we're striving. But what that does is it limits us and it cuts us off from this more reliable, more dependable sense or perspective of who we really are. To look at yourself from the idea that you are the reflection of this divine principle.
So if I think of myself as a sister, a daughter, and so on, so I'm really limiting my belief in what I really am.
Right. And by accepting that, what we do then is we turn our back to who we really are. And that's where scripture comes in. That's where we really want to try and understand what they call the mystical I or the scriptural I am. They are direct references to the one divine life or the divine idea or the divine ego, the self. This term is beyond rational perception and therefore beyond the realms of thought or mind. Because when we accept the false sense of who we think we are, then we get off at the level of thought. We are a concept, we are an image, and when you understand the physics of spirituality, that like attracts like, that whatever it is that you identify with, whatever it is that you desire, is what it is that you are going to hold in your consciousness, and as a result, it's what you are going to manifest in your experience. So a big part of the practice that we're working on here is shifting from the personal sense of I into the spiritual, mystical I am, which is the creative principle of this universe. What we use our mind for then is just an avenue of awareness so that we can be conscious of this invisible, intangible divine presence until it acknowledges us, and then it can express itself through us, which will have a profound effect on our experiences, because then we will be thinking differently. We will be thinking with divine mind, and we will be individualized from the causal spiritual dimension, which holds the template for perfect creation.
So if we can't get past these labels or judgments on ourselves and others around us, it sounds like this could be a stumbling block in our spiritual developments.
Right. Recently, we've been working with the movie The Matrix. And one of the scenes in the movie, which is, I think, was my best takeaway from the movie, was the scene when he goes to see the Oracle for the first time, and he meets this boy, and the boy is sitting down and he's bending a spoon by holding it in his hand in between two fingers. And he's just holding it up and the spoon is just flopping back and forth. And so he hands the spoon to Keanu Reeves, whose name is Neo in the movie. And then he instructs him and he says, "Do not try and bend the spoon. That's impossible. Instead, only try and realize the truth." And Neo looks at the boy and says, "What truth?" And the boy replies, "There is no spoon." Neo says, "There is no spoon." And the boy says, "Then you will see. It is not the spoon that bends, it is only yourself." Now, for us to maintain that personal sense of I really means that we are at the level of awareness where we are still conscious of the many. And if that's where we get off, then we don't see the one. And the whole message of the movie is The Matrix is trying to find out if Neo is the one. Only what's interesting about the movie is that it doesn't seem like it has the divine idea in the script. And so the one becomes one of many, which is a very different dynamic. It's kind of like the way we rationally understand the term the one, which is the same as how we rationally understand the I. Because the way we understand it, I would say, is 50 people apply for a position and you get it. And therefore, you are the one. But see, that's a very different thing than to understand that there aren't 50 different people, that there is only one divine life. And that revelation, when we start to see life from the perspective of spirit, where you are not perceiving everything with your five-sense mind, but you have risen into the divine mind, and you're now being able to see things in terms of the absolute, which is very different than perceiving things merely in the rational.
So these labels that we put on ourselves, it sounds to me like we are breaking one of those rules where it says, love thy neighbor as thyself.
Well, again, that depends how you look at it, because to love your neighbor as yourself would mean that you would have to know the truth of your neighbor. And if you are spiritually perceiving what is before you, you have to understand that it is just the one divine life appearing as a person. And that's a very different level of consciousness that we are really trying to strive to achieve.
So we should be looking at our family members as mother, father, brother, sister, husband, so on. We have to look at them as being with the one as we are.
Right, that there is only one. And isn't that what the little boy kind of tells Neo? Only try and realize the truth. Rather than trying to bend the spoon, rather than trying to do things from a mortal level of existence, try and understand that there is a power that exists beyond duality.
And so in this movie, I know you were saying before, this is still a struggle between good and evil. And that's really what we want to stay away from, this sense of duality.
Yeah, now I didn't think that the movie was a very good representation for what I would consider to be the path to enlightenment. I think it was more like the philosopher's journey. I think it really didn't get beyond what St. John talks about in Revelations when he mentions the dragon and two beasts. These are mortal thoughts about what's really here, that it's not the divine creation. The movie is not about the divine creation, which is perfect. It is under the law of absolute harmony. It's completely fulfilled. It's whole. It's complete. The movie is an ongoing battle. It's a struggle. It's a fight. But in truth, that's the principle, that the underlying dynamic of this universe is absolute peace, absolute love.
Well, and again, the boy, when he says, instead only try and realize the truth, I know we've broken down that word realize before. Is that something that you could do for us right now?
Yeah, well, I really like the interpretation of real eyes. And not just as one word, but as two words. One is real and the other is eyes, which are the things that we see with. Because our spiritual senses, which are perceiving something other than duality, which is perceiving the absolute truth of being, that's what we really want to start to live out from, cultivate spiritual sense. Graduate from the material to the spiritual. Doing this and learning that it is not just conduct in search for some sort of a reward, but it becomes a practical guide for highly effective living. When you are able to demonstrate this divine law and really come above the limitations of all the material laws, all the laws of physics, and you now live out from a completely different set of rules.
Well, I do want to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the Eight Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I'd like to talk more about the word realize and realizing the truth. Can we dig a little deeper with that?
Yeah, I think what we really want to distinguish is the difference between thinking truth and realizing truth, or as the Bible says, knowing truth. I think the biggest distinction that can be made between them is that when you realize truth, you demonstrate truth. And that was what I found really helpful with that scene in The Matrix, was the boy was bending the spoon. And when he gave instruction to Neo, Neo followed the instruction, and then he himself was bending the spoon. It's the demonstration of this truth. This truth is a divine principle. It must be tested, and it must be demonstrated. Otherwise, we think about truth. And thought has its place in that thought really relies on belief for its ability to change appearances, which I think is what that whole section in Revelations is all about when they're talking about the dragon and the two beasts, or the beast and the false prophet. That these are things that we can employ, and we can change finite bad to finite good, which will eventually become finite bad, but we're still in the trap. We're still in the cycle of death and rebirth. We still have a belief in two powers. That belief in two powers hypnotizes us. But to know the truth, to know that there is but one power in this universe, that becomes a demonstrable principle. Spirit is the only thing in this universe that is self-existent. Thought relies on belief, which is kind of like a counterfeit of power, because it only gives you the appearance of power. It is not self-existent power. That is one of the reasons why, when we are in this false sense of who we think we are, and we're accepting the personal sense of I, that we can be manipulated with fear. Because, again, fear is the defense mechanism for this false sense. And one of the reasons is because the false sense knows it has an expiration date. It knows it's going to die. And as a result, it lives in chronic anxiety. And it's constantly seeking validation. And as long as we are in that trap, then we are addicted to what is appearing in our five senses, or what is appearing in mind, our mortal mind. But for us to become liberated from that, we must know this truth. And to know this truth, to understand truth, means that you can correct appearances, that you have dominion over what is appearing in your five sense mind.
But we have to know it first, then we have to correct it. Is that right?
Well, then divine mind takes over the scientific government of your body at that point, and then it is the will of the Father, which is what they call, which is the way they talk about it in the Bible, that this divine self-existent power then governs you from within. It guides you, but it guides you with authority. It guides you with the backing of the principle of divine creation.
So in order for us to rise above this personal sense, we have to realize when we're living in fear, because this is the barrier of us going any further spiritually.
Well, I think it's one of them. In the Yoga Sutras, we work with fear, ignorance, laziness, and selfishness as being the barriers to enlightenment. And so fear is one of them. Ignorance is another one, which is very big, mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. It's all of those people that von Goethe talked about that are hopelessly enslaved because they believe that they're free. And a lot of us who are seeking more of the pleasures and profits of the human experience really don't want to give up that personal sense of I.
Interesting you said that word ignorance, because I was just thinking about a line in that movie that one of the characters said was that ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. And again, I think that type of philosophy is backed by the mind, the mortal mind that it comes out of. Things like to err is human, to forgive is divine. As humans, we should be expected to make mistakes, that we are forgiven for our mistakes. But if we want to accept our divine spiritual identity, then we rise above mistakes, and then we have the capacity to give.
So then we're really striving to have this spiritual understanding of the self.
Right, and that would be considered our goals and objectives for practicing the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga. But most of us are really content with the personal sense of the human experience and just happy getting more of the pleasures and profits of it. But in order for you to come out of this dream and claim your spiritual inheritance, your eternal self, your eternal life, you're going to have to die. And not necessarily on a physical level, but just you're going to have to give up all of your human modes of thinking, mortal thought.
You know, earlier in the show, you had talked about thoughts and ideas. And how does that correlate with the topic of today's show, Who Do I Think I Am?
Yeah, the difference between things, thoughts, and ideas. That can be found in the difference between matter, mind, and spirit. Things are visible and tangible, thoughts are invisible but tangible, and spirit is invisible and intangible. Even say, for example, some philosophers would say, like Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. Or Bertrand Russell said, I am, therefore I think. If we are going to understand how we think is what we become, then it becomes critical to understand the difference between things, thoughts, and ideas. Because like we said, if we desire what is visible and tangible, then we never really get above material sense. If we desire what is invisible but tangible, then we never really get beyond the workings of mortal mind. But if we desire what is invisible and intangible, then we understand the divine word. We understand the word of God. We are in tune with the creative principle. And so for us to think with divine mind puts us on the level of the creative principle. And there's a tremendous amount of benefit that comes with that that you can't get by accepting your material identity. But you can't be both material and spiritual. That becomes the paradox that I think a lot of us don't want to give up the material and of going through what was referred to in the hero's journey, the dark night of the soul, that period when you are going between what is visible and tangible things and thoughts into this invisible, intangible void or nothing, which our five senses just freak out because they are craving something that they can use to validate themselves. And that's where you use your personal will to really be able to overcome the mortal modes of thought, control your thought, and make your mind an avenue of awareness for divine mind. And at the same time, when the visions come, don't get off. Focus on the presence of the divine until the divine acknowledges you from within. And that's something that nobody can tell you what that's going to look like. You can't get that from anything but your understanding of what this invisible, intangible, divine principle is to you. What you can do is cultivate your spiritual sense. What you can do is fill your thought with divine ideas to help make your thought buoyant, to lift your awareness beyond sense level until you can find that place where your thought is the same as divine idea. And from that perspective, then you can start to realize the truth.
There's a phrase in the summary where you said that we were going to explain the revelation of truth is not a loss of personal sense, but a more inclusive sense of spiritual identity. And it sounds to me that something you had just described for us is this more inclusive sense, or us realizing this divine truth, becoming the oneness.
The leap here is we're going from the many to the one. And what we find is that the one is bigger than the many. The many are finite and mortal, whereas the one is infinite and it's eternal. The concept of dying to personal sense is not really, like we say, a loss of personal sense, but it is really an opening, a more inclusive point of identification. When you talk about this stuff, that there could be similarities and at the same time differences between the psychotic experience, the neurotic experience, or even drug-induced states with this true mystical state of being. The major difference is that the psychotic, the neurotic, the drug addict, they're drowning. They have a complete loss of personal sense, whereas the mystic has a very strong sense of who they are, but at the same time has expanded identity beyond the many into the one. And the revelation that there is but one divine life. So in other words, you don't lose your five senses, but what happens is that now you gain your spiritual senses, that you now have access to this kingdom of heaven on earth, this invisible, intangible source. And you are now under the protection of divine law, and you are out of the cycle of death and rebirth under the government of karmic law.
Well, this is a good place to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. And if you'd like to access these archived Blog Talk Radio shows, just click on the fading banner when it comes up to Blog Talk Radio. And then that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And don't forget Swami's free webinars Wednesdays at noon. And we also are doing the Sunday 9 a.m. Asana class, also by online classes. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to put off the old sense of who you think you are and put on the truth of your being. And with that, namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.